This is the Political Economy Podcast. Complexity in an age of climate catastrophe, social injustice, and post-democracy. This is Zoltán Pogacar, and today we are looking at Stephanie Kelton's book, The Deficit Myth, published by John Murray Press in 2020. This was perhaps the most anticipated book of the year 2020. In addition to being a professor of economics and a former chief economic advisor to the Democrats in the Senate, Stephanie Kelton served as an economic advisor to Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders in the 2020 campaign. She's one of the most well-known exponents of what is called modern monetary theory, or MMT. The aim of the book is to explain the principles of MMT in plain language. It manages to debunk some of the most harmful economic myths of recent decades, myths that are constantly pounded by politicians, analysts, and above all the press, out of cynical self-interest or sincere ignorance. The most important message of modern monetary theory is that it is never the case that the state does not have enough money for something that is really socially desirable. If something really serves the public good, then the state, as a sovereign issuer of money, can always finance it. The central bank is always able to print money or create it in a computerized form in today's world and buy public debt created by public spending at a 0% interest rate. The often heard politically motivated objection, how are you going to pay for it, is empty and void. It was only ever raised anyway in the case of education and healthcare bills, never in the case of military spending or tax cuts for the rich. That is, all the damage done by endless austerity and so-called stabilization, including the crisis management and balanced budget fetishism of the Eurozone, has been senseless and harmful. Of course, this does not mean that money can flow out of the budget unaccounted for. MMT is not a proponent of excessive money printing, but quite the opposite, a very well thought out and responsible fiscal policy. The excessive printing of money is sure to cause hyperinflation, as the dictators of several countries liberated from colonial rule found out after ordering the printing presses of the central bank to run night and day. MMT, on the contrary, is a proponent of highly disciplined fiscal policy. However, this discipline is not limited by budget deficits, as it has been the case conventionally, but by inflation. That is, we need to look much more than we do now at what we want to spend on and what we do not. The overall effect of such an approach is extremely positive. Not having this discussion is the main source of our current problems. According to Kelton, MMT is like an autostereogram, the blurry spot at first sight where if we look at it in depth, we suddenly see a three-dimensional image behind it. Anyone who has once understood the logic of MMT will never again perceive public finances the same way. Let us look at some of these common falsehoods and myths that Kelton attempts to debunk. Myth: the state has the same budgetary constraints as households. Reality: the state can print money, households cannot. In fact, the state does not need taxes to finance its expenditures. It can finance anything with the money it is entitled to print. Does this mean that the state has no need for taxes? In fact, the state does need taxes, but for other reasons. One, because this is the way to make sure citizens use the currency issued by the state and not another one. They need this particular currency to pay their taxes. Secondly, taxes can be used to keep inflation under control. If the state decides to spend on something important, let us say hospitals, and this particular spending would boost inflation, It could reduce demand and therefore output capacity elsewhere by taxing it. Let us say by taxing the construction of plazas. It is especially useful to tax harmful economic activity that you want to reduce anyway, such as whatever causes pollution. Thirdly, taxes can be used to reduce income and wealth inequalities if they become too large. For example, some oligarchs become so rich that they capture democracy, or certain firms dominate entire industries as oligopolies. Number four, taxes are useful for regulation. The government can decide to support certain economic activities, learning, food, green energy, with lower taxes and restrain others, smoking, CO2 emissions. Why then does the state need to issue government bonds, in other words, debt? In fact, it does not. This is something that serves vested interests. On the one hand, as German economic sociologist Wolfgang Streeck points out, issuing debt to a market puts governments under the control of investors, making them the second constituency after voters, as Streeck calls them. This is obviously not democratic, that is, it must be abolished. On the other hand, Sandy Brian Hager presents in his 2016 book, Public Debt, Inequality and Power, The Making of a Modern Debt State, government bonds are a safe source of income for the rich. The interest on state debt is in fact paid by the poor when the state cannot pay for a proper school or a local road because the money has to be spent on interest payments. That is, at the end of the day, government securities are a form of income transfer from the poor to the rich. There is no reason, therefore, why we should insist on selling government debt to the private market when the central bank can purchase it at a 0% yield. The next obvious question we all ask ourselves when we are first faced with modern monetary theory is, wouldn't politicians start spending as if there was no tomorrow? Will this not cause hyperinflation? The answer is that MMT does not condone irresponsible spending with no end. On the contrary, it specifically argues for a responsible budget. For example, let us say the state decides to support social housing with its own community money. This will stimulate demand for construction output. This would in turn cause inflation if the construction sector were unable to expand its capacity rapidly enough. There is no reason, however, to believe that firms would not expand their output if demand increased. Even at the best of times, the economy is not operating at full capacity according to empirical data. In fact, the very definition of a recession is when firms face a lack of demand and therefore operate far below full capacity. They welcome a rise in money demand and meet it by producing more. However, if inflation were indeed to rise, we would simply reduce unnecessary or harmful construction output elsewhere by diverting state spending or by taxing private investment. This reduces inflationary pressures in the construction industry, allowing the state to proceed with the useful form of construction, i.e. social housing. Another example, financing sustainable energy with community money, while at the same time taxing CO2 emissions. If the former increases inflation, the latter will hold it back. Myth. The deficit is evidence of overspending. Reality. Inflation is proof of overspending. Kalten refers back to the American economist Abba Lerner, who had developed the theory of functional finance, the forerunner to MMT. According to Lerner, it is the task of the state to fill in for the economic activity that the private economy cannot deliver. The private economy employs as much labor as it is willing and able to at any given point in time. To employ more, the state must create useful jobs. From this point of view, it does not matter whether this leads to a budget surplus, a balanced budget, or a deficit. The point is to achieve full employment. If, on the other hand, The economy is about to overheat, that is, if there is a threat of inflation. It is the task of the state to reduce purchasing power through increased taxation wherever it considers economic output to be least justified or even downright harmful. With such a selective increase in taxes, of course, the budget balance naturally moves towards equilibrium. However, this is not a goal, but an unintended consequence. According to Kelton, MMT has additional ambitions on top of Lerner, in that it seeks to introduce a general job guarantee program. Rather than spending more on infrastructure, education and care work, so to say, from above, hoping that the private economy would respond, MMT prefers a guarantee employment from below for everyone who is unable to find employment in the private economy. This would have countless benefits beyond the obvious, namely that everyone would be able to hold a job. It would act as an economic stabilizer, flattening economic cycles. Thirdly, it would operate as a kind of minimum wage in the economy, as no one would be willing to accept a job offer under the state-guaranteed employment wage. At this point in the book, Kelton quotes the American economist Hyman Minsky as saying that even though in the current system there is an institutionalized minimum wage, the actual minimum wage is $0 for a person who cannot find work. Myth. Public debt is dangerous and should be reduced. Reality. We could repay the public debt today without any problems. Japan's public debt is 2.5 times its GDP. Yet the yield on the government bonds, which is meant to convey risk, is very low. Sometimes it is practically zero. Why? Because this debt is in Japanese yen and not in a foreign currency. There is no risk. The Bank of Japan could repay the debt at any point in time if it so wished. In fact, it has already bought half of it, but it could buy up 100% of it. The economic mainstream would start to worry at this point. What about inflation? Not really a problem, according to Kelton. All that would happen is that the holders of Japanese government debt would receive cash instead of their securities. The total wealth would neither increase nor decrease. Moreover, the longer-term outlook would even deteriorate slightly, as they would have to say goodbye to their bond yield revenues. There would be no reason for them to start some crazy spending spree right away. There would be no swelling inflation. Kelton also looks at the opposite strategy. The US had in fact once really repaid its public debt, and several times it took radical steps towards reducing it through a series of budget surpluses. Each and every time, this led to a crisis. This is no coincidence. Having a budget surplus means that the state withdraws resources from the economy, and then it does not spend this money. This is sure to contribute towards a recession. Myth. If the state borrows, it crowds out private companies that also line up for loans. Reality. When the state runs a deficit, the savings of the private economy increase. The crowding out theory had been true during the era of the gold standard, when money was tied to gold. It is no longer true today. When the state takes on a loan, it does not crowd out other borrowers, but instead, in fact, it increases savings opportunities by issuing treasury bonds. The deficit of the public sector is the surplus of the private sector, and vice versa. The surplus of the public sector draws resources from the private sector. Myth. There is not enough funding for social security, healthcare, and pensions. These large state systems are unsustainable. Reality. It is not money that is the bottleneck, but capacity. Like other services of the state, these subsystems do not have to be financed through taxes. or contributions. Once again, the state has the prerogative to issue money and finance these coffers. Much like the state at large, these subsistences cannot go bankrupt either, as long as debt is denominated in the national currency. Wouldn't this create inflation? The response of MMT is the same as in any other case. It only induces inflation if we are unable to guarantee the right volume of capacities that would satisfy state demand. That is, if there are not enough doctors, nurses, medicine, nursing homes, caregivers, buildings, and medical technology. This is the real bottleneck, not the funding. Given our aging society, it is time to focus on creating these human and material resources. Purchasing power can always be generated by the state. Kelton cites two surprising witnesses to all of this. Former Fed chairman Alan Greenspan, who is otherwise super orthodox, was once asked at a congressional hearing whether he agrees that self-care needs to be strengthened, as the state pension system will shortly prove to be unsustainable. To the greatest shock of the questioner, Greenspan told the truth in his reply. No, the state can in fact fund these subsystems anytime if it wants to. His successor, Ben Bernanke, even added, "This is not taxpayers' money." The budget deficit is therefore a myth, and its fetishization is harmful. However, as Kelton warns, we have plenty of other deficits to focus on. Healthcare and care work deficit, knowledge deficits in an underfunded educational system, democracy deficits, more people could be made citizens and oligarchs eliminated, and a very urgent climate deficit, the need to finance the transition to a sustainable degrowth economy. These are the real limitations of our lives, not that we don't have enough money to finance the public good. Margaret Thatcher once infamously said that society has no money, the state only manages taxpayers' money. Modern monetary theory proves that, in fact, the state is not spending taxpayers' money, but community money. If you're interested in modern monetary theory, you should look for books by economists Warren Mosler, Randall Ray, Bill Mitchell, and Pavlina Chernova.
You've been listening to the Political Economy Podcast.